Thank you for listening to Spiritual Teachings with Shunyamurti, recorded live at the Sat Yoga Ashram in Costa Rica. To join us for a life-changing meditation retreat, or to make a donation to support this transformational work, please visit our website, www.satyoga.org. To access more teachings or guided meditations from Shunyamurti, please visit the members section of our website or our YouTube channel, Sat Yoga Institute. Namaste.
And this question of duality versus monism or a monotheism becomes ever more, crucial to the development of the religions, especially that are postulated in the West, which do postulate one God, but on the other hand, there is a devil, there is Satan, there is this evil impulse of the ego. So whether you want to conceptualize it in a dualistic form or a monistic form is not so important, because psychologically the same kind of dynamics have to be confronted. However, if you have a model that is completely a unified field, then it's much easier to integrate these aspects of consciousness that, as we get deeper into Kali Yuga, are going to fragment more and more into a whole spectrum of light and dark, healthy and unhealthy, good and evil aspects of the soul of everyone. And what's particularly relevant now, I think, is that as we get to the very end of Kali Yuga, the dark force of the ego is in hegemonic control of the world, at least apparently. Of course, the final revelation will be the snapback of the divine light and love and re-emergence of that supreme power of love that will then restore the world to its original beauty and goodness and purity, etc. So the story is not told in the most accurate way, but there are important understandings in terms of the development or of the differentiation from the Vedic period, in which sacrifice of a very concrete kind of sacrifice of animals, and in some cases human sacrifice, and which is distributed through many of the cultures of that period, including in Mexico and South America, in those cultures, but also and in the Hebrew temple, sacrifice of the burnt offerings of the bulls, etc. So you had a very bloody kind of religious experience in which one had to confront the reality of death in a very powerful, shocking way that produced a rite of passage to a level of, dispassion or vairagya, and a very real willingness to face reality without the fear of death. And this was essential to those cultures in producing a warrior class, the kshatriyas, who were willing to not only defend the culture, but to expand the boundaries when necessary, or later on when at the whim of people like Alexander the Great, who simply wanted to conquer the whole world, etc. Of course, not able to do that. But these encounters with the limits of the potentialities of a military culture were also the testing ground of manhood in those periods. And then they also led later on to the development of various different forms of political organization. So the point, however, that is to me most important in the film is the understanding that develops of the emergence of the Jains and the Buddhists and the sannyasis, those who recognized that not only must one face death, but that the world of life is a veil of illusion, not over death, but over that which is beyond both life and death. And the piercing of that veil was of urgent significance for the people of that period. And their religion, their vows, their practices were of an extreme asceticism, especially the Jains, who very literally worked hard to extinguish any last trace of the ego's desire to live in a physical body. And of course, this was also the original, very close to the original Buddhist, the Theravada Buddhism. But then, you know, the Mahayana came in, and that version was much more appropriate to a layman's version of nirvana, let's say, of the understanding of nirvana as encompassing and including samsara. But it's misunderstood by many people who study Buddhism in thinking that you can be in samsara and nirvana and still actually identify with your ego. No, if you're going to have that integration, you have to have pierced the veil of illusion and killed the ego. But then what remains and what is able to be embodied is the purity of the infinite intelligence of that supreme reality, no longer obstructed by egoic illusion. And that is the goal that is now ever more urgently needed to be achieved as we approach the end. I would even say that the Jain model is becoming ever more relevant, because our freedom to move, our freedom to act, to be free of the various constraints, including illness, but all of the various constraints on life that are increasing, make it very appropriate to adopt that impulse of the upper death drive to be done with all appetite, all attachment, all interest in the phenomenal plane. And we are now approaching that moment where the steepness of the drop into the final collapse of Kali Yuga is going to be accentuated by more and more massively catastrophic events. We just recently saw two cases of the dodging of a bullet by Hawaii with a hurricane there, and now in South Florida another. But I think soon the dodging of bullets will end, and the bullets are going to be hitting very, very hard. But I think this is part of keeping people asleep and feeling complacent and smug as we approach that. And yogis should not fall into that self-deceptive belief that, oh, everything is normal, and there aren't any major angels of death approaching, but there are. And I think as we approach the real core of let's say, the tenor of the end times, as the darkness and the horror become more extreme and more widespread, what we are going to see is the equivalent of what is happening now in most of the Western economies, which is the destruction of the middle class. And there will only remain the very rich elite, and almost everyone else will be impoverished and homeless and without any support or any voice, and will be simply cannon fodder or nuclear fodder for the coming events. But in the same way, on a spiritual level, what is happening is that those who are in the middle chakras and the middle assemblage points are going to find that those levels are not sufficient to hold together a consciousness in a state of integrity. And those in the lower chakras in particular are going to find that the most primitive aspects of ego consciousness are going to emerge, which means that people will feel more hatred, more envy, more terror, more of the most primitive emotions are going to come out, and with a lack of control over them, and more of an overwhelming feeling of being possessed by these dark energies, both from within and attracted from without. And so it's of very great importance then to get beyond that level, to get to that level that Campbell was describing in the last video we saw, of going through chakra 7 and only your footprints remain, only the ability to speak from beyond the veil, but with no identification any longer with the physical body. And only, I think, in that level of consciousness will peace be able to be sustained, but also offered to those who are struggling and coming apart. So as we approach this, we're going to see this phenomenon happening more and more, and we're going to see the reaping of negative karma in everyone who still has traces of a karmic attachment to the body and to the mind of the ego. So that there will be more and more mental breakdowns and meltdowns, and more physical phenomenal things happening that one will not be happy about. So we have to be able to take these things in our stride, because they're going to happen to everyone to some extent, and we're going to have to learn from them and use them as increasing our incentive to be free of attachment to anything in the phenomenal plane, and to accept that karma without getting angry and without losing our composure even more because of what's happening. So the bottom line recommendation is to be as completely dedicated to reaching total inner silence and unity with the supreme light and love of the one self, and no longer identified as a separate being, but able to let the body function in its most healthy way by not having any karmic implicate energies that would express themselves as symptoms of suffering any longer in the body. But all of that, the purification of the soul and the healing of whatever had been projected in the body, can only happen from chakra 7. So that's the message that must be delivered, and I hope will be internalized and mobilized for the sake of each one and for the sake of all. But we have to leave the ego behind, including all of the ego's attachment to things, to properties, to money, to other people, and to be able to relate only to God.
Thank you for listening to the Spiritual Teachings with Shunyamurti podcast. For more information on programs and retreats, click on the calendar section of our website, www.satyoga.org. Our work is made possible by the generous support of our listeners, viewers, and members. To make a donation, please visit the donate page of our website. We thank you for your support in our mission to share this timeless wisdom with the world. Namaste.